Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary and I'm joined with Josh and Kara tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm so glad to have you both in the studio with me.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
Well, we are going to be talking about false teachers.
We sure are.
Ooh.
It is deep.
That's a big subject.
It is. It's something that Kara can't get away from.
Right. I have had this on my heart for a while, and I would say, okay, let's do false teachers, and others would go, well, I don't really know if that's what, and so I would walk away from it for a little bit, and the next thing I know, I'm back, because right. God is bringing it back. So here we are.
Yes. I think that it is deep, but it is a much needed to talk about subject. We've seen false teachers, even like Charles Manson, what is the other,
Jim Jones.
Yes. You know, those are well-publicized
right.
ones, but there's many who were not publicized that people have just been led astray
right.
because they didn't know the Word of God. So
right.
this is very important.
It is very important.
And I'll just let you get started. You've done a lot of research.
Okay. And whenever we say research, we mean in God's Word.
Yes, absolutely.
And you could do a lot of research, but that might not bring us to where we need to be. And we can always be certain God's Word
right.
is exactly where we need to be. And I was just thinking, praying about where we should start. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, you need to start in Romans. You need to talk about being saved.
Right.
And how that occurs. And so
that's where it all starts.
That's where it starts, mm-hmm. is accepting to begin to have that relationship.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to quickly go through some of the Romans verses and that talks about salvation, and it makes it so simple. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No one, not anyone, is perfect
no.
except for Jesus, and we've all sinned and are not where we should be.
Correct.
And Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Christ, that's so huge. I mean, I cannot wrap my head around that act
right.
all the way. When we get to heaven, won't that be a wonderful, at Jesus' feet,
oh, yes.
thanking him and knowing things we don't know at this
point.
Well,
and feeling that love just
yes.
right.
Yes.
Right face to face.
Yes.
yes.
And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we really should die.
Yes.
I mean, if we were left to our own devices, sin equals death.
Right.
And thank goodness that Jesus followed what he was being commanded to do. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Nobody wants to be condemned.
No.
Rejected. And so we have no condemnation. And then Romans 10:9-10 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes and is justified." So with our heart we believe, and with our mouth we confess, and we're saved.
Praise God.
So this is the gospel. It's the only way that we will be saved, through Jesus. And with that being said, Acts 4 says, "And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Yes, that's Acts 4:12. Yes.
Yes, Acts 4:12. I do not think that with these verses there's any question.
No.
That's very...
It's pretty direct.
It's pretty direct.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
But there are false teachers in the world
right.
that want to twist and turn that.
Well, the Bible says this is the only way.
Yes.
He is the only way
yes.
to salvation.
Yes. And so how do we guard against falling prey to the false teachers
mm-hmm.
that come across our path? And here's four things that I feel like that God's word shows us is if any religion does not recognize the following truths, they're false. So right. Number one, Jesus is God's son.
Amen.
Number two, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Three, he rose from the dead. And four, he ascended to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of
God.
And yes. If anyone wants to contradict that,
that's the truth.
This is the truth, mm-hmm. And they are not.
Right.
So.
Because he says who he was.
Yes.
If you read his word, he says who he was.
Yes. And that's the key to all of it, mm-hmm. is reading his word and knowing.
Right.
So I was thinking, how do we structure this?
Right.
And the first thing I thought was, with Holy Spirit's guidance, who did Jesus say he was?
Right.
That's where we can, I feel like that I was led to, that's where we start.
Okay.
So in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them."
Right.
And what do so many people say? We do not need the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Is that what Jesus said?
Right. No,
no.
He did not.
No, he said that he came to fulfill
it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, him and the Father are one.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that goes on to say that no dot or tittle or whatever will
right.
be removed from the word until he returns.
Well, if you read John 8:58, it says, "Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered before Abraham was born, I am."
Yes.
He said Jesus was talking to the Jewish leaders and people. He was making the claim to them that he was the great I am from Exodus 3:13-15, where God was speaking to Moses from a burning bush that was never consumed, telling him that he would lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. Moses said, "Who do I tell them sent me?" God said, "Tell them I am who I am."
Mm-hmm.
These Jewish leaders knew this passages well. You know, they knew, they had studied it in John 8:58, Jesus claiming to be eternal and also to be the God who appeared to Moses at the burning bush.
Yes. So can you imagine being those Pharisees and Sadducees
yeah.
and whatever other
Jewish
teachers that were there? Because while sometimes it wasn't always Jesus didn't always speak so plainly like
right.
we do.
Right. He spoke in parables a
they
lot.
They knew what he meant.
Right.
And it was like a huge slap in the face.
Well, you know, I've often thought about the view of the Sadducees and Pharisees because they were not ready.
No, they weren't.
They were not ready for the Messiah.
They should have been.
Exactly. They were not ready for the Messiah to step on the scene.
No, they weren't.
Mm-mm.
And they had been told to be
right.
ready.
They've been teaching it.
Yes. To teach is another level.
Right.
And so it's one thing to be in a class, but to teach is a whole nother level.
Right.
You have to know the material.
And yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's going to be people, Christians, or people who claim to be Christians, who are going to miss the rapture because they're not ready.
Exactly.
But they know who he is.
But
you know, but we can't say we know. But we didn't receive.
Right. And he'll say, "I don't know."
That's right, because you just read what you have to do to get there.
Yes. Yes. So the first thing is he's telling them, "Hey, catch on.
Mm-hmm.
I was God back then in
right.
the burning bush, and I am who I am now."
Right.
And so in John 10:7 and then 10:9, I'll just read those together. It says, "Therefore Jesus said again, Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the door of the sheep." And then verse 9 of John 10 says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture."
Mm-hmm.
So the only way in is through Jesus.
Amen.
And if anyone else tries to create another door or jump the fence yeah. and go through another way, that's false.
Right. I seen a video the other day, and there was a sheep, you know, because he says he's the door of the sheep, which is us,
mm-hmm.
and this sheep was stuck in a ditch, And they worked so hard to get it out of that ditch, and he got him up on the bank, and he turned around and jumped back in the ditch, you know, because that's what we do. We get out of one mess, and Jesus gets us out of it, and then we get ourselves into another mess. Mm-hmm. He is our shepherd.
Right. He is our shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I think in another podcast we had talked about sometimes whenever sheep's wool gets huge on their body, mm-hmm. they sometimes can't even stand up under the weight.
Right.
And so they have to be righted. They have to be set back up. So that's what Jesus does for us as his sheep. And so he is the I Am. He is the door. And in John 10:11, he says, I'm the good shepherd.
Yes.
The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. And we have the Old Testament reference of David.
Mm-hmm.
David took care. They guarded.
I love David.
But, yes. But
he failed.
Yes, but Jesus didn't.
No.
And so
brought him through it. He corrected it.
Yes, yep. And he laid down his life for us. So another thing, besides being the door and the I Am, he's the shepherd. And then in John 14.
Let me correct something I said. I said God corrected it. David repented.
Yes.
And God forgave him.
Yes.
That was the correction I meant. So I'm sorry. Go carry on.
In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So
that's
if I
clear.
Want to go over and say that some other entity is going to help me into heaven, then no.
You're lying.
I'm lying. This is very clear. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And whenever you think about those things, we want to know a way. We want to know the way to get from point A to point B so much that we even have GPS now.
Right.
We want to know the truth. And what do we get in our world? Everything but.
Well, these are the street signs right here.
Yes.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes. And we want life. We want, it's not just life I'm just living and occupying. It's life eternal. It's life of peace.
Right.
It's life with him occupying with us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no other way except through him.
Well, and I think people get hung up a lot of times on trying to be perfect. Jesus said, strive to be perfect as I am perfect.
Yeah.
But that means, that word strive means try.
Try.
Do your best that you can do, because he knows.
Right. We're not perfect
That's right.
until we get to heaven.
Amen.
John 11:25, after he talks about the other things, he continues on and he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And he was talking to Martha, and there was, I cannot remember which leadership believed. I think it was the Sadducees, but I'm not sure. They didn't believe in resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's telling her, Martha, being the sister of Lazarus, who had died, and Jesus is there to resurrect him. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's just exactly what he did, was raise Lazarus from the dead. And he says,
and his sister Mary, her sister Mary sensed it, felt it, knew it the whole time.
Yes. Well, and I love this word, whoever believes in me. It's not one for me, two for you,
right?
One for me, three for you. It's not that kind of thing. It's whoever. Mm-hmm. I've always said I want a license plate on my car that says whosoever.
Whosoever. I like that.
Yeah. Whoever believes in me,
though
he dies, yet he shall live.
Amen.
We will be resurrected someday.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to spend eternity in heaven with
him. Praise God. I can't wait.
Me either. That's good. And all of the wonderful things that's going to come with
that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
But if we choose false teaching.
Right. You're going to miss it.
You're going to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be horrible.
And that's what, you know, that's one thing that we really want to teach on our podcast. Is how to get there.
Exactly.
Because we don't want one single person to miss it.
No.
We don't want our greatest enemies to miss it. We don't want anybody to miss it.
No. We want
it's
everybody.
Very important.
So does Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus wants all to come
Absolutely.
To him.
They're all you're all his.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Create
We're his sons and daughters accepting.
Yes, accept, repent. in John 6:3, actually it's John 6:35-40. Boy, I messed that up.
That's okay.
Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And when you think about, when you put it in the context of their day, they didn't have Quick Trip or Bulldog or Burger King on the corner.
Right.
And they didn't have water that was
freely, just
no.
Like we just run in and grab a bottle of water.
No.
They did not have that.
It would kill them.
Right.
And so that was a huge statement.
Mm-hmm.
But as I told you, in verse 36 it says, "But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me will never drive away. I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of these he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them at the last day."
Praise God.
Every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interesting thing is, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with five barley loaves and two fish.
Yeah.
And he had like 12 baskets left over whenever they finished. And
he makes the impossible possible.
Yes. He broke bread, prayed, broke, fed.
Right.
And hunger is our most basic need.
Right.
It's the driving force in our life. Without food, think about if you are without food, you're hollow, you're weak, and you're cranky.
you're hangry.
Angry. And you're unsatisfied.
Right.
So that was his analogy.
Right.
And he says, God put inside all humans the need for a relationship with him. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but he did.
Well, he said he gives all of us a measure of faith.
Yes.
So we are all born with the same measure of faith. What we do with it is up to us.
Exactly. Yes. We can either have that relationship that is vibrant and beautiful and peaceful and protective. Or we don't.
Or we don't. That's right.
So without that relationship, we cannot be spiritually filled. So he fills us with the bread of life because we have a void.
Right.
So instead, if you think about it in those terms, we try to fill a void with all the wrong things.
Yes.
We have more and more and more wrong things in life to fill that void with. So he is our spiritual bread that we fill the void with. And have a deeper relationship.
Right.
So he's the bread of life. He's the I am. He's the resurrection, the way, the door, the shepherd. He's everything.
Yes.
And then the last verse that I'm going to include with that is John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I've said for almost eight years now, since my husband has died, if I had all the money in the world, you would be able to see my place from space because I like light.
Right.
I like what's in the darkness.
Right, exactly. If you lit up like a Christmas tree.
That is correct. I feel like darkness is oppressive.
It is. Well, the Lord says, you know, in him there is no darkness or shadow of turning.
No.
There's no shadow. No shadow.
It's light.
Mm-hmm.
There's no explanation of that.
That's right.
You can't. That's going to be one of those things to see. But he's light.
Yes.
He is. He guides us. He leads us. I remember when our small town several years ago, there was an ice storm. And our small town that's always lit, even though it's small, had no light for a week. And that was oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank goodness he's our light.
Right. Amen.
He leads us, and light just does everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
Think if we didn't have the sun.
Right.
What would happen to us? No vegetation.
Right. We'd all die.
Well, and if we have days and days of cloudiness, people say, oh, I've got to have sunshine.
Right.
If I don't have sunshine, I'm depressed.
Yes.
Well, God is our light.
That's right. And what does Jesus say about Satan?
Oh, my. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. It's crazy. That's so horrible. And it's exactly right. I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then he says in Luke 22:30.
I love this one. Yeah.
Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we any different?
No, we're not.
Than
he,
Simon?
He attacks us daily.
And that sifting process.
Right.
Painful.
Or he attempts to attack us,
yes.
Let me put it that way.
Yes.
Which is where the false teachings come in, because if he can distract us with our social media and all these other things that come, you know, that he uses them as a tool.
Yes, he
does. I'm not saying social media is bad. Don't take that the wrong way. But just like anything God means for good, Satan's going to try to flip it.
Yes, he is. Every time.
Yes.
If we didn't have media, we wouldn't have this podcast that's reaching an audience.
Yes. And all around the world, not our podcast, I'm not saying that, but we, you know, there are media preachers and teachers that are reaching all over the world. And that is something that has to happen, the Lord says, before he can come get us. You know, everybody has to have the opportunity to be taught.
Yes. Yes. And this is another step toward that.
Yes.
So we know what Jesus said about himself, and we know what he says about Satan.
Yes.
And we know the way to salvation. So now, what does Jesus say about false teachers? Because it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so in John 8:44, and think about the context of these settings, because he's talking to the Jewish leaders of the day.
Yes.
And he says in John 8:44, you are your father, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a
slap. Can you imagine?
No.
Yes. I can just see them turn red.
Oh, yeah. With so much anger.
Mm-hmm.
And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So basically he was saying, so are you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
The truth is not in you.
The truth is not in you.
Yeah, because, you know, this makes me think of when, you know, Satan was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the perfection. He lived. He knew them. But he still chose that he wanted to be greater than. So.
Yes. Yeah. And I just, to be in that crowd.
Yes.
And to be accused whenever you thought you had everything under control, that you were the biblical.
Right. You were looked upon.
Of the
yes.
Day.
You were looked upon as almost royalty.
Yes. Yes. And they did take great care and the power that came with that.
Right.
So, yes, so he was calling them liars.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew 15:13-14 says, he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Mm-hmm. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit.
You know, this makes me think of Nicodemus, because he wanted so badly to get close to Jesus. And, he, you know, maybe he did at some point. Maybe I'm hopeful that he got saved.
Right.
But he could not leave that standing. He struggled to leave that standing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
They all did.
They did.
It's giving up your livelihood, something that you've earned your living with for all these years, and you've chosen, listen, I know what I'm reading to everyone, I'm teaching everyone, but I don't know that he's the Messiah. You know, that's the kind of the thoughts they were having.
Right. And they were trying not to be duped by a false teacher as
exactly.
well. I mean, yes, they messed up.
Right.
But
absolutely.
Do you think it was more of not wanting to mess up, or do you think it was more of not wanting to relinquish the power that they had?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I believe that after his death and resurrection, what they seen, because you know they were there, they were all there. I believe what they witnessed, I believe some of them cried out right then.
Yeah.
But some of them were hard-hearted. You know, I mean, look at Judas. Judas sat at the table with Jesus. He saw everything. He was with them. But his black, cold heart won out.
Right.
He did not let the light of Jesus shine in him.
No, he didn't.
And he was sitting with him. He was his, you know, friend. He broke. And the whole time, Jesus knew that he was going to be the one to betray him. And that's the way it is in life sometimes. How many times have you had a friend that just stabbed you right in the back and you thought, how could they? And that's hard to get over.
Yes.
You know, but Jesus loved him anyway.
Yes, he did.
He loved him through it. But see, and a lot of people say, well, how come Judas was forgiven, but Peter, or how come Peter was forgiven and Judas wasn't? Well, Judas didn't repent.
Exactly.
Judas was upset he got caught.
Yeah.
Right.
He was ashamed that he got caught. Peter was, he said, I'll never renounce you. I'll never say that. But he was afraid, and he did. But Jesus knew. He said, Peter, you're going to do it. But Peter was immediately remorseful.
Right.
You know,
remorseful being the key word.
Exactly. There. Because, yeah, because these heart. Sadducees and Pharisees. And I believe, like you brought a point a while ago, they were trying to, they needed proof.
Mm-hmm.
They need, you know, because how many had come before him? We don't know.
Right.
And said they were that. You know, we don't know. We don't have the newspapers or whatever from back then. But they could have had a lot of them coming through there saying they were the Messiah. But I believe that some of them gave their life to the Lord when that happened, and I believe some of them didn't.
Exactly. I agree. And so the ones that didn't really were stiff-necked, hard-hearted.
Right.
Like God's Word talks about.
And Jesus says that the Jewish leaders will be uprooted and that they are blind guides.
Mm-hmm.
He said, stop following. Don't follow them.
Yeah.
And we have to know that. When you're in a congregation and a preacher says something false, you should know it because you should know the Word of God.
100%.
Yeah.
I've
heard preachers say a scripture and they just said it backwards, or they said they got a word, you know, and I was like, oh, it should have been in my mind. It was this, this, and this. Not that they were teaching falsely. They just got excited and got ahead of themselves.
Kind of like your thing earlier in the episode when you were talking about David.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like that same thing.
Exactly. And we do, as much as I love to preach and teach and talk about David, David was a man that messed up.
Yes.
And that's who we are. We mess up. Just like David, Moses, you know, we had a Bible study here earlier today and we were talking about mistakes, you know, that people make. God still forgives us for that when we are truly repentant. You know,
exactly.
You can't just keep saying, sorry, God, sorry, God. He knows you're going to go do it again because it's in your heart. That evil has to be plucked out.
Right. It's the habitual sin that's unrepentant.
You got to shine a light on it and get it out of your life.
Right. And true repentance is that remorsefulness.
Yes.
And sometimes people just aren't. So, Jesus talks about these things, the false teachers,
mm-hmm.
with the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, because they had their ceremonial law that they wanted to keep at heart. You know, that mm-hmm. was so important. And he was at every turn, even though they were trying to catch him up in some kind of wrong saying.
Mm-hmm. Or healing on Sunday, healing on the Sabbath day.
Yes. And he said, that's not what it's about.
No.
And you will be pulled up. You mm-hmm. will be
plucked out
and you'll be ran through like right. the wheat that is being separated from the chaff. And mm-hmm. so that's what Jesus had to say about right. the people who are not telling the way to him as right. they should. So some of the other people in the Bible that really had a lot to say, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul had a lot to say about false teachers.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And he was, because it broke his heart.
Right.
He would go in and lead people to Christ and plant a church
mm-hmm.
for false teachers to come along.
Right.
And stuff.
He'd come back and be like, what happened
here?
What I mean.
Mm-hmm. And Peter and John also had a lot to say. So
yes.
let's dive into that.
Okay.
In Galatians,
mm-hmm.
which is a book that Paul wrote, and
yes.
to the Galatians, he says right off the bat, he doesn't even start the book the same.
With hello.
I'm praying for you.
Yeah, no.
I love you.
No.
He was very sincere.
Mm-hmm.
He was sincere about this too, but it mm-hmm. was not, he was admonishing them. He
yes.
says in chapter 1 of Galatians, in verses 6 through 9, he says, I am astonished. He didn't say, hey,
right.
you know, you're not really doing it right.
Right.
He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel,
mm-hmm.
which is really no gospel at all.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion
mm-hmm.
and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And what does the devil try to do? Confuse.
Yes, he's the author of confusion.
Yes. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. He didn't say, you know, that's bad deal. He says, let them be under God's curse. Verse 9, as we have already said, so I say now again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He mm-hmm. used strong words.
He reprimanded them.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had, immediately they turned.
Right.
But they had people coming in saying, well, you know, I think there were a variety of different teachers that
sure.
came along. But they, especially the teachers who were the Judaizers who wanted them to, you know, do the circumcision route. That was
right.
how, you know, yes, you can do this, but you really need to be circumcised. Did Jesus say that was the way?
Well,
does God's word say anything about circumcision?
No. But, you know, also, too, you have to remember these people they followed Jesus. A lot of these people they went and heard Jesus speak. They knew somebody who'd been healed by Jesus. They knew, you know.
Yeah, they still had some first-hand acknowledgement, a vision of that.
So somebody could have come around and said, I was there, this is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were dealing with that kind of, I mean,
right.
you know, that puts it into perspective.
Right.
You know, anybody could have come in and said, well, he got that part wrong.
Right.
No. But Paul said, no.
No. No, it was a revelation to me. I know exactly.
Yes.
He had shared, and Paul wanted, he was so intense
yes.
about wanting people to come to Christ and wanting to share. And he was the same guy that was killing them
mm-hmm.
not very
oh,
long
absolutely.
Before that, because he was one of the
he
Pharisees.
Was torturing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he got slammed down on the road to Damascus. It talks about
right.
in Acts chapter
His name 1. Was Saul.
Yes, yeah. he was Saul. But he is so tuned in to what God is asking him to do,
mm-hmm.
and he's going on these missionary journeys. And he said, how can you let these false teachers come
right.
in and deceive
what are you
so
doing?
Quickly?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if I came in and told you a different way, don't believe it.
Right.
If an angel told you a different way, you can't
right.
believe it. And not just don't believe it, but God's cursing them.
Well, think about it. They are building the church.
Yes.
They are, you know, he said, on this, I'm going to build my church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, he had a big... Paul had a heavy burden.
Yes, he did.
And so when he came back and it's falling apart in that church, whoa,
mm-hmm.
he's got to fix it. And that's why I believe he had to be so stern.
Yes, I think so. That's a very good perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a big burden.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If these people, think about it, if the disciples, the apostles had said, you know, this is a little bit scary. I don't think I want to tell about right. Jesus. We're done.
Right.
Or if Saul, who turned to Paul, had said, I don't really want to do this. Where would we be?
Right.
Would we have the gospel today?
We God would. Have God would have made a way. Yeah.
But they needed to do what they
But praise were. God, they loved him. They loved Jesus so much.
Yes. Yes.
That they were willing to go forth and do it.
Yes. So in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15 says, and I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about, those false teachers. Mm-hmm. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will be what their actions deserve.
I know.
So that's Paul. Peter talks in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there were false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. How many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute? In their greed, these teachers will exploit you and with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So false teachers, that's destructive. Mm-hmm. They're going to be destroyed. And it was for greed. It
right.
was for greedy gain.
Well, I love in 1 John 4, 1 through 6 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, mm-hmm. but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This is true today.
Yes.
Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit, this is very important, that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God.
Yes.
We're
That's
seeing
plain.
That in the streets of this world today.
Yes, we are.
This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. If he is saying that now, that spirit came on right then.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So because he, you know, Satan preached against God.
Yes.
Ever since this has been, battle has been raging.
Yes.
Look at in the garden. Mm-hmm. He told Eve, you will surely not die.
Yeah.
He twists everything.
Exaggerates and
mm-hmm.
twists. Yes. So real quickly,
yes.
How do we apply this to our lives?
Yes.
And I think this is really important. And I think it's important not to point fingers. I felt like the
no.
Holy Spirit was leading me to what do we do to prepare,
right.
but not point fingers. Oh, well, this group of people.
Right.
That's
no.
not my job.
No, it's not.
My job is to
spread the truth.
Spread the truth and know God's word inside and out so I can identify what is false.
Right.
So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We need to be so tuned into God that we want to worship him sincerely.
Yes. And in spirit and in truth.
Yes. And verse 2 with that says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we be transformed? How do we renew our mind?
The reading, studying and reading in the Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Praying. Being in corporate worship.
Yes.
And I think having a group of friends that are like-minded.
Right.
All of those things together.
Well, and
accountability.
Hold you accountable.
Yes.
Yes. We have to be held accountable because if we don't, then we're just going to do things our way.
Yes.
You need a friend that says, what you're doing is wrong.
Exactly.
And let me show you why.
Yes.
You know, don't just point a finger and drop it and run off. Do what Paul did and explain why.
Yes, and not be offended because
exactly.
they're not exhorting or speaking to
right.
you out of hate. They're speaking
exactly.
to you out of love.
Love.
Just like God corrects us,
yes.
we correct each other
Amen.
In
yes.
a loving way.
Right. Just like James says, in James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, then go to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to go.
When we're in prayer, he goes.
Oh, he has to go.
When we're in God's word, he goes. Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear it.
That. No.
Mm-mm.
No. Praise God for his presence and protection.
Amen.
Yes. And then Ephesians. So we're conforming and we're transforming,
yes,
and renewing our mind and we're submitting. But then after we do that, in Ephesians 6:10-18 talks about putting on the armor of,
yes,
God. And we go through every step of each piece of putting that on. And so when we put that armor on, we are ready.
We're prepared.
We are prepared, mm-hmm, because we're from top to bottom. We
protected.
Are decked out and protected,
yes,
fully informed, fully aware, because we're strong.
Amen.
Because we are in God's word. And so if you get the opportunity to read Ephesians 6:10-18 and see what that armor is and put it on,
yes,
and be transformed and be renewed and submit. And then in James 1:22-25, it says, do not merely listen to the word, so to deceive yourselves, do what it says. So after we do all those things, we need to be doers of the word. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in a mirror, looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So I pray all the time, God, help me to remember,
right,
what you're showing me, that I'm not looking in that mirror walking away and going, well, I don't
know. Right, exactly. That's good. This has been a very good, deep study because you've brought out lots of scripture. So
yes,
I can tell that you did a deep dive.
It was a deep dive.
It was, but it is so fulfilling to hear the truth and to seek in the truth.
It's not hidden from
us.
It's
not
right
at all.
There.
It's
in
right
black and white.
That's right. He said, the Lord says, seek me and you'll find me.
That is exactly right.
And that's how we seek and find him,
yes,
is in his word, doing works that, putting our faith into action, serving God, showing others how to love one another, how to help one another. Those are things that we can do to show ourselves approved.
Right.
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 Study to show thyself approved. Well, this has been wonderful. We've come to the end of our session today. And Kara, would you mind praying over our wonderful listeners?
I would love to. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to know more. You have shown me so much through this study, and it's all right there, so boldly written. We thank you for that, Lord. Be with our listening audience, that this touches them, and it's just exactly what you wanted us to say, and that above all, your name is glorified. We thank you for this time, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Josh, for being here, both of you, and we want to thank our listeners for listening to us. We hope that you're blessed. We hope that you understand about seeking God's truth, because it's very important. But I want to say thank you to everyone for joining us today. If you haven't already, make for sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you do not miss an episode. Please leave a review and share with your family and friends so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve, to reach, and to teach.